My guest, Ana Mendez Farrell, instantly was given a foreign language which she could not speak before. And she spoke it fluently and was a translator, but it happened as she walked up to translate. She instantly knew this language. She knew English. This has happened with German, with French, with Portuguese. I want to find out more about her, because I can tell you, I struggled when in high school when I studied a foreign language, and I knew a few words. I can speak a couple of words. That's all I can remember. But to be a translator, oy vey. Ana, I want to take you back. At age 18, you had an unexpected guest. What happened?
Yeah, I was in my room when suddenly Yeshua, the Messiah, appeared before my eyes. And I saw his love, and I was impacted with the goodness, the love. I mean, the glory of the Lord was all over my room. I fell on my face. I was weeping and crying. And he said to me, "You are going to be my servant, and you will know me in its due time." And then he disappeared.
So what did you do with this thing? What, I mean, here you are in Mexico, and mm-hmm. I assume you're Catholic. What did you do?
Well, instantly, when you have seen the Lord, you fall in love with him. And every person that has seen such a vision, I mean, you have to fall in love with him. So I start to pursue and trying to find this experience again. And I went to very different churches every single day trying to find Yeshua again. And I couldn't find it inside of the Catholic Church. At least he was not there for me. So I started to seek in other places. I became a New Age follower. I became a yogi. I was doing meditation, seeking a Christ that apparently...
You knew he was real. You knew of his love, real. And so your passion, but no one was showing you how.
I didn't know. I have never heard about a Christian church. No one have ever spoke to me about Jesus. I mean, except for what I heard in the Catholic Church when I was a kid. And so I knew there was a reality. There was a Jesus, a Yeshua, which is a real name, that was real, that was there for me, and that was not just a religion. There was a reality that I needed to pursue. So I was, I mean, everywhere looking for this reality. And in the Eastern religions, with all the meditation, they all seek for this peace and these avatars. And
but you knew better. You knew the real thing. So when you were looking at the counterfeits, you knew they were counterfeits.
Yeah, it was void. It was void. They had like tiny bit and pieces of the truth, but they don't have the whole truth. And that makes the whole difference, because Yeshua is the truth. The entire truth is not just a tiny piece here that does not satisfy the heart. So after 2 years being there, and I'm a person that go deep. When I want to do something, I'm in a research or something, I go deep into things. I'm not a light person.
But you heard about a, quote, holy man, and you went to his home. Tell me about that.
When I have totally lost hope to find him again, someone came to me and says, "You need an enlightened one." Hmm. And I said, "Where do I find an enlightened one?" And this person said, "I happen to know one," and she took me to this man, which was a warlock, a major guy in the occult, very seductive in the way he talked. Mm-hmm. I mean, he was very intellectual, very... he kind of knew all the mysteries of the universe. So his conversation was very attractive. So I felt it was the real thing. And he said to me that in order to know Jesus, I needed to enter, or to enter the kingdom of God, I needed to die in order to be born again. And I said, "What is that?"
Did he actually use the term born again?
Absolutely. And he opened the Bible and he read John chapter 3. When the Messiah is talking to Nicodemus, and he's speaking about that it's necessary to be born again in order to see and to enter into the kingdom of God. So with the Bible open, that inside of me, I knew it was the truth, even though I didn't know how to read it or I was never drawn to it. There's something about the Bible that tells you is a sacred book. that something is real there, even though you don't understand it. So I say, well, yeah, I want to be born again. What do I need to do? And he said, well, we need to give you into the hands of the spirit of death.
Spirit of death?
Of the spirit of death. And this is the tricky thing of the enemy, that he will use part of the truth, and then he will twist that truth in order to hook your soul. This is why being in all these ways of the occult, divination, New Age, it seems so attractive. It seems so seductive, because it's a wisdom that you and I don't have. But behind it, there's a hook to grab your hold, I mean, to grab your soul and take you to the pits of hell. Because entering those paths is not just curiosity.
So you invited a spirit of death inside of you, which resulted in you going into a mental institution?
Yeah, there was a whole ceremony for me to be born again and die to this world system. And after that ceremony, I was totally demon possessed. Because when you play with the occult and when you play with these things, they are occultic forces that are after you.
Now, how would you have stayed in that mental institution your whole life if something didn't happen to you?
Oh, yeah, because I have totally lost my mind. I could not talk one sentence properly. I will be talking to you, and suddenly my mind will flip up, and I start seeing spiders and snakes and all kind of things, and I will switch to another thing. You could not have a conversation with me.
You won't believe what happened in the mental institution to her and many of the other patients. We'll be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
She actually thought she was going to find God. She goes to this man that is involved in witchcraft and New Age, and he disguises himself as a holy man and even reads from the Bible and asks for the spirit of death to go inside of Anna. And she thinks she's going to finally find the Jesus that she had an encounter with when she was 18 years of age. Instead, she lost her mind. She was institutionalized with no hope of release, no future, in a mental institution. And Anna, a man came to visit you. Tell me about that.
Well, I was in this place of total hopelessness. I could not have a normal conversation. It was not like someone will come with a nice opinion or a philosophy. He came with Jesus. He came with Yeshua. He came with the Messiah. And the Messiah is the light, and the Messiah is the life. And that's the only way my mind was totally clear to hear what he was saying. And hope just came to me. And I said, I want what you're saying. I've been wanting this for so much and for so long. And right now, I'm in front of you and you're talking to me, and there's no way I can come to the Messiah. And he says, you are wrong. The blood of Jesus breaks every yoke. The blood of Jesus breaks every covenant with the devil. And when he said that, I said, what do I need to come to the Messiah? And he said only one word. He said, repent. And this word repent created an earthquake in my life. It was like, this was a real moment. This was not a philosophy. This was not someone teaching me an opinion he had. I was in front of something that was so powerful. And when I repented and I started to see my life, and I started to see, literally I saw the condition of my soul. I saw the filthiness of my soul. I saw the importance of sin, because many times we think sin is, well, it's something we just do. No, sin brought Jesus to the cross. He brought our Messiah to the cross to die for us.
Now, when you repented, what happened?
When I repented, I saw Jesus in the cross. And his eyes were almost closed, so much he was being beaten up and smitten and blood all over. And he was looking at me with so much mercy. And I feel his love just penetrating my heart and forgiving me. And this is a scene that has never left me. And when I said, Lord, please forgive me for my sins, and please, if you have some mercy for me, come and save me. I mean, I felt his light and his glory just touching my heart, and I literally felt the reality of Yeshua entering my life, entering my spirit, because this is the true gospel, and this is what is so much different than any other religion, is that Jesus literally comes and joins your spirit, and then you become truly a new person, a new...
But what happened to your mind?
I was instantly healed.
I was instantly
healed for my mental condition, for my physical condition, because when you are in a mental condition like that, your body acts accordingly. So I had all kind of illnesses.
But I understand that there was such a power that came on you. What happened to the other patients in the hospital?
It was so much power. It stayed like for 12 hours, and that power hit the entire hospital. And in the next 15 days, I mean, the glory was coming out of my life, just hitting every single patient, and they were being healed, delivered. A person was in a wheelchair and just stood up. Like, she had a stroke, she couldn't talk, she was in that wheelchair, and the power of the Lord just hit her. I mean, I was a believer for one day when that miracle happened. Sometimes we think we need to go to a Bible institute or get a lot of training. No, when the life of the Messiah enters your spirit, and it's a real seed of life, that life manifests through you.
And guess what happens? After that life manifested through her, her sister hears from God, and an evangelist is coming into the town by the name of Morris Cirillo, and her sister tells Anna that you're supposed to be a translator. One problem. You don't know English. So you walk up there to translate. You know you can't speak English fluently. Mm-hmm. What happens?
Well, the truth is, this is not an imagination. When she spoke, I felt God was speaking to me, and I said, Lord, I bow to this. And I took the step to stand in that platform without knowing English. I mean, I knew little words here and there like everybody, but I was unable to have a conversation at all. And when I stood in that platform, suddenly heaven opened up, and it was downloaded down into my spirit, the English language. And ever since, I speak fluent English.
How many other languages did you get instantly?
So this happened to me also in Switzerland, in French Switzerland, and I supernaturally also received the French language. It happened to me in Brazil. I received the Portuguese language also in the platform. And last month, I preached my first sermon in German.
Let me ask you something. We struggle to learn a language. Can others walk into that gift?
Oh, absolutely. Because we serve a God that speaks. God is not in the cloud. God is not a supernatural mind that nobody has access to him. He is through the Messiah, a God that speaks to us. And because he speaks, we can speak. And every language is spiritual, and you can receive it.
As exciting as that is, she's literally prayed for dead people that have come back to life. Don't go away, because there is going to be an explosion of miracles. Explosion. Be right back after this word.
We'll be right back to It's Supernatural. We now return to It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Anna Mendez-Farrell. And Anna, you know what I think is so fascinating is the head of psychiatry for Mexico, because of what he knew happened to you and the other people in the institution, what does he do when he has someone just before perhaps he's going to perform a lobotomy?
He used to call me and say, can you do your prayer that you do to these patients? Because I don't want to do this to them. And they got delivered, and that was totally unnecessary to do.
But it's not just mental problems. Her own daughter fell, broke her neck, and died. Anna, what did you do?
Well, I know Jesus, the Messiah, Yeshua, is the resurrection. And I pray and I believe Jesus is the resurrection. And the power of resurrection hit my daughter, and she came back to life.
But you know what else is interesting? Anna's grandfather is Jewish. and you went to Auschwitz, one of the worst of Hitler's concentration camps. Why did you go there?
Because it's a very important place, and the curse of having killed all the Jewish people that Hitler did was causing a tremendous blockage to bring the Messiah to Europe. So it was necessary to lift up that curse, and we went to pray and to ask forgiveness. And actually after that, we went to Jerusalem to ask a forgiveness in Yom Kippur to all the Jewish people for what has happened, and ask their forgiveness so we can bring the gospel of the Messiah to all Europe.
Well, when that curse was broken, and the curse was because of Genesis 12:3, God says, I, God, will bless those who bless the Jewish people, and I, God, will curse those who curse them. So the curse was broken. What happened in Europe then?
Oh, revivals have started everywhere, everywhere. But what happened, which is so interesting, and this is what I want to go into, is when I came back to Mexico, the devil was so angry for what happened in Auschwitz that he literally appeared to me in my room to try to kill me. And there, I had a very strong relationship with the sacrifice of Yeshua, and a relationship with the blood of Yeshua in my spirit. And when this happened, the Holy Spirit said to me, just manifest the power of the blood. And I literally saw my body in the spirit, how light came out of the blood of Jesus that is inside of me, and totally destroyed the power of darkness, the devil that was in front of me.
Well, you know, it was at the last Passover Seder of Yeshua that the Christians get communion from. And the Messiah said, do this often. And Anna, you believe that when you do what the Messiah did at Passover often, it literally is progressive. And what you saw when the devil came, when the devil saw you almost being red from the blood, how did he react? How did the devil react?
Oh, he totally vanished. He disappeared right away.
He couldn't take the heat.
He couldn't take the power of the Messiah. He overcame all evil in the cross of Calvary.
So do you take Passover communion every day?
Every day. Actually, when the disciples talk to Jesus, they say, what do we need to do the works of God? And it is in that particular chapter that he started to explain the power of communion and what happens and how eternal life enters your life through drinking the symbol of his blood, which is the fruit of the vine, and the symbol of his flesh, which is the bread. And then the life in the spirit that is in the blood of Yeshua and the power of his stripes comes and joins your spirit so we can live in total health.
Well, you had a tumor in your uterus.
Yeah, I don't take one aspirin because I believe the best medicine on earth was given in the cross of Calvary by Yeshua. So this is the best medicine. And I discovered this growth in my uterus, and I just took the power of communion, and I saw that growth totally dissolving inside of my body, because here there's true power. Here, this is the inheritance that the Lord gave us. He said, the same way I was sent by my Father, the same way that I live by my Father, you will live if you partake of my flesh, if you partake of my blood spiritually, obviously.
Well, you know, I've observed Passover my whole life, and this is the way Yeshua prayed over the matzah. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Amen. Anna, would you pray over it?
Yeah, and they broke the bread, because breaking the bread, you feel in your own spirit the breaking of Yeshua for our sins. And when you feel the breaking, you are compelled not to sin again, because this is so important. This becomes life inside of you. So let us partake of his flesh.
And then Yeshua took the wine. Interesting, the rabbis tell us It must be red wine, which signifies the blood of Yeshua. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech olam, borei pri hagafen. Amen.
And here is the victory over all our enemies, over all sickness, over all unforgiveness, over all oppression, over everything the devil wants to do in our life. Here is the victory to Yeshua.
I have found, just as Anna has found, by observing Passover communion every day, it's progressive. It's sort of like a doctor tells you, and by the way, I believe in medicine. I believe in vitamins. I believe in all of that. However, there's something higher, and that's what Anna is talking about. And progressively, what I find, Anna, is just as someone might take medicine and they start getting better gradually, mm-hmm. I find that I'm getting healthier and healthier and as I take communion, and I'll never forget the experience you had. Do you remember where the devil looked at her and she was all red from the blood of Yeshua? I mean, as opposed, most people that believe in God, believe in Jesus, mm-hmm. have a little bit of fear of the devil. But what you've told me is the devil was afraid of you.
The devil is afraid of us, because when your spirit joins together with Yeshua, what the devil sees is Yeshua. What any bacteria sees is the power of Yeshua. What every attack of the devil sees in you is the power of Yeshua. And I have seen in my life, we just came back from Bolivia to a very infected area of yellow fever. And we refused to take the vaccination, because I have a vaccination that works much better. And I don't condemn any person that takes medicine.
Anna, pray right now, very quickly, for people with mental problems.
Father, in the name of Jesus, you have given me the authority to break the power of the enemy over people that are bound by the devil. And I break that power in the name of Jesus. And I declare that thousands of people that have mental problems in this very hour are being set free by the power of Yeshua HaMashiach. Hallelujah.
You know, what makes sense to me is Christianity is Jewish. I don't believe God ever wanted to start two different religions. True Judaism is true Christianity. True Christianity is true Judaism. Not a Messiah for the Jews and a Messiah for the Gentiles. One God, one Messiah, one Spirit. It makes so much sense that you need help to be confused. So say, God, tell me about this Jesus. Is he our Mashiach? Ask, and he's going to answer. He'll know the truth.